What's your name?
Sam Scarlett.
What's your religion?
The IWW.
That ain't no religion.
The only one I got.
Who's your next of kin?
I don't have any.
Well, who's your best friend?
Big Bill Haywood.
He's in here with you.
He's still my best friend.
What's your nationality?
None.
Well, what country are you a citizen of?
I am a citizen of industry.
Where is your home?
Cook County Jail.
Before that?
County Jail, Cleveland, Ohio.
And before that?
City Jail, Akron, Ohio.
Look, are you a citizen?
No, I'm an industrial worker of the world.
I'd like to start today by acknowledging that we're broadcasting from stolen land. It's the unceded territory of the Wurundjeri and Boonwurrung peoples of the Kulin Nations. We need to pay our respects to their elders past, present and emerging, and acknowledge that the struggle for decolonization continues and sovereignty has never been ceded. You're listening to The Sewer Show, the Squatters and Unwaged Workers Airwaves. This is on 3CR Community Radio. You can find us on 855 AM on your dial, or 3cr.org.au where you can stream. This is the wobbly week of The Sewer Show. It's all a show all about industrial workers of the world, the one big union for all the workers. I'm your host for this week, Tilda. I'm a member of the Wobblies. Today it's also May Day, and we're going to be reflecting on that fact all day, I suppose. We've got an interview coming up a little bit later with some workers from the Retail and Fast Food Workers Union, who are organising their shops at JB Hi-Fi, trying to secure safer conditions while they work through this pandemic, and ultimately trying to have their stores shut down to the public so that they can keep the community safe. So an interesting conversation to happen there. But first, maybe we should open up with some news. First off, we'll start with an update from the rent and mortgage strike campaign that we were speaking about last month on our last episode of the Sewer Wobbly Week. This is an initiative that's been started up by the IWW and has been taken up by many different community organisers from all around the country. The latest is that in so-called Victoria, a tenants union has been established, the Renters and Housing Union Victoria, and they're going to be having their first all-in meeting on Monday the 4th of May at 5pm. There's an online meeting link. You can get that at meet.jit.c, that's JIT.SI, /no-one-left-behind. So that's on this Monday at 5pm. Meanwhile, in the so-called United States, essential workers at Amazon, Whole Foods, Instacart and Shipt are organising to take strike action on May Day. Workers from grassroots unions Gig Workers Collective, Instacart Shoppers National, Amazonians United, New York City, Shipt Shopper, Target Workers Unite and Whole Worker have joined forces to declare what they are calling a general strike on May Day and encouraging all customers not to cross the picket lines. Check out the latest episode of the It's Going Down podcast to hear a roundtable discussion from these workers as they face down oppression from some of the most profitable companies on the earth in what is being dubbed a post-pandemic strike wave. Okay, that's about it for the news today. We're just going to throw over to a song that was picked by one of our JB Hi-Fi workers, do a little community announcement and jump into the interview with our comrades from the Retail and Fast Food Workers Union.
Am I a? got the biz to make you bang. Yeah, we got God down, we got you. Every day thinking about how we get through. Everything I own is on IOU. But I'm here bringing y'all something new. You don't like the people, they don't like you. Then they're gonna set it off with the big boo. Son in the battle, it's a son and daughter too. What you wanna talk about? Who done who? What you wanna talk about? Slang time, that's that in my A thing. I got the bombs to make you blow. I got the beats to make you bang. Slang time, that's that in my A thing. I got the bombs to make you blow. I got the beats to make you bang. Pull out the people, pull out the poor. 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 Pull out the poor, pull out the poor. I'm a fighter, fighter God. I'm a soldier on that road. I'm a fighter, nice, nice fighter. I'm a soldier on that road. Bring me the reaper, bring me the lawyer. I'm a fighter, take him on. You treat me like a killer, I ain't never hate ya. I'm a soldier on that road. I'm a fighter, fighter God. I'm a soldier on that road. I'm a fighter, nice, nice fighter. I'm a soldier on that road. Slang tang, that's that in my A thang. I got the bombs to make you blow. I got the beats to make you bang, bang, bang. Slang tang, that's that in my A thang. I got the bombs to make. I got the beats to make you slang tang. That's that in my A thang. I got the bombs to make you blow. I got the beats to make you bang, bang, bang. Slang tang. That's that in my A thang. I got the bombs to make you blow. I got the beats to make you bang.
Isolated? Quarantined? Need some essentials but can't leave the house? Or just having a hard time dealing with everything at the moment? Queer Aid NAM is a new mutual aid group of organized volunteers. We're here, we're queer, and we've got your back. Whether or not that's how you identify, nobody should be suffering because capitalism or the state didn't provide what they needed. That's why we're working to strengthen our communities through solidarity. Put in a request for help and we'll match you with a volunteer in your area who can either pick up groceries or other essentials for you, help you run errands, cook meals for you, or check in with how you're going. If you or someone you know is having a hard time, or if you want to join the volunteer list, find us on queeraidmelbourne.org or search for us via Facebook. COVID-19 Queer Aid NAM Melbourne. So tell your family and your friends, and don't forget your neighbours. That's queeraidmelbourne.org, a 3CR supporter.
G'day you mob, Kutcher Edwards here. I just want to send out a message to you all. To stop the spread of COVID-19, also known as the coronavirus, it is advised that you keep 1.5 metres away from each other. Follow rules on social gatherings. Wash your hands when appropriate. And stay home if you're feeling sick or unwell. But most of all, keep strong, stay safe. And of course, keep listening to 3CR. Community radio to keep connected to the community. We'll get through this and hope to see you real soon. Bye.
You're listening to the Squatters and Unwaged Workers Airwaves Sewer Show. This is the Wobbly Week, the week about the industrial workers of the world, the one big union for all the workers. You're listening to 3CR, that's 855 AM on your dial, or 3cr.org.au. Just before the break there, we had Pull Up the People by MIA, which is a request by one of our JB Hi-Fi workers. Just going to throw over to that interview now. Thanks, everyone, for calling in today. We're here with three JB Hi-Fi workers. And I was just wondering if you could introduce yourselves. Maybe we'll start with Morty.
Yes. Hello, my name is Morty. I am a student activist worker at JB Hi-Fi and member of the Retail and Fast Food Workers Union, and I am based in Melbourne, Australia.
Awesome. Thanks for calling in. And we've got Harry.
Hi, my name is Harry. I've worked at JB Hi-Fi for around 7.5 years in Melbourne also.
Fantastic. And we've also got Cameron ringing in.
Yeah, I'm Cameron, and I've been working in JB in Tassie for about 4 years.
Awesome. Tassie represent. So there's been a campaign at JB Hi-Fi over the last few weeks in regards to the COVID-19 crisis and some safety issues you've been having at work. So I was just wondering if anyone would like to speak to how did this all start? Where did the campaign come from?
I guess I'll start that conversation. Just over a month ago now, I joined RAFWU and started reaching out in the Facebook groups as to what we could do, like what rights we had, what we wanted to ask for. And Morty commented on that. We got to chatting. We created a little chat group that sort of everything came from. We sort of worked out what we wanted to get, what we thought would be the right move for JB for everyone involved. And it just went from there. A few days later, we contacted RAFWU with the demands we had, which was JB closing down stores to customers, paying all workers, including casuals, a base rate, really just putting customer and worker health first. Did you want to continue on with that, Morty?
Yeah, certainly. So, yeah, as Harry said, we came into contact with one another by a Facebook group. I had been a member of the Retail and Fast Food Workers Union for probably around 2 months prior to this pandemic really blowing up. And after contacting RAFWU after it was announced that JB were remaining open across the country, I was redirected to a Facebook page where I came into contact with Harry, and it all kind of tailspun from there, more or less. We collaborated together with other JB workers in putting out these set of demands, as well as collaborating with RAFWU as well. And here we are today.
Fantastic. That's so amazing that you're both pretty fresh to the union. You've kind of started such a massive kind of campaign. That's really great news. How about you, Cameron? How did you get involved in this campaign?
It actually was a little coincidental, I guess. So I'd been looking into joining a union for quite a bit of time. The only one I was familiar with was SDA, so I had to have a bit of a look around to see what my other options were. And I came across RAFWU, and I just happened to join them at the start of the year, just kind of before the pandemic kind of really hit. And then after being a member for like a week or two, the campaign popped up and I was just like, yeah, I'm in on that. So
all right, yeah, here we go.
Stupidity, I guess.
Amazing.
You were in it from the beginning, weren't you, Cameron?
I joined about a week or two before the campaign kicked off, basically.
Fantastic. So, like, as a response to the pandemic, RAFWU drafted up some claims for the retail industry and the fast food industry around what we needed for workers who were expected to work through the pandemic. And this campaign's kicked off at the same time. How are the claims that you need at JB Hi-Fi that you're fighting for with this campaign. How are they different from maybe some other workplaces? Like you mentioned before, you know, the demand about store closures, for example.
Well, the way I saw it at the time and the way I did see it and the way a lot of people I saw spoke to saw it is that there is obviously a legitimate reason for stores who sell food, that sell essential goods, to remain open with the highest protections possible. While JB might sell some things that might be considered essential, I've yet to find anything that couldn't be sold online, or anything that was essential enough to warrant keeping stores open with business as usual, I guess would be the difference there. It's not about that our lives are worth more than theirs, but just that their jobs are more essential than ours.
Really kind of going off what Harry said, I think we all agreed more or less that JB Hi-Fi has a really fantastic online service that is up and running throughout this time and will continue to do so. And we felt that the pragmatism about sort of moving to online during this period of time whilst we are in lockdown would be beneficial and also enabling the health and safety of both staff and customers who may be of high risk.
What are your biggest concerns around safety at the moment with JB Hi-Fi, you know, being at work at the moment through this pandemic?
JB Hi-Fi has got a lot of products. We've got a lot of stock and we fit it into tight spaces, which is fantastic. During the normal time, people love to come in, they love to browse. But when you're dealing with a contagious disease that really to be safe, it's been recommended that we stay 1.5 meters away from each other. The practicality of working in that kind of space becomes unrealistic. I mean, you saw it even at the height of the new infections toll, when we were getting hundreds of new infections per day, you'd still have people sort of squeezed tightly into small spaces. You'd still have people browsing DVDs, coughing, then touching things. And, you know, there was a massive shortage of things like hand sanitizer, things like proper cleaning supplies. Like, not just, this isn't JB specific, but there were just massive shortages. And that just led to a really uneasy feeling that we couldn't practically both do our jobs and be as safe as possible.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. It's it's the practicality of it. You can bring in certain measures and whatnot, but there's just a certain element to it that just makes it too difficult. Like say with having caps, a ratio of customers per square meter in a store or whatever. That's all well and good, but not everyone is spread out evenly over a store. You've got certain departments that are packed full of people and others that are empty while you've got 80 or 100 people in there. So even just with things like that, it's just too hard to be able to maintain those standards. And then also keeping things clean throughout the day. People constantly using FPOS machines and touching things, to be able to keep that at a standard that's safe is just impractical.
Now, Cameron, you've been working in Tasmania,
yep.
Which is maybe a little bit different for many of our listeners who mostly live in Melbourne. It's not so much of a metropolitan kind of area. And you were mentioning that people are kind of have been traveling around to kind of visit the JB that you work at, right?
Yeah, that's right. So my store is in Launceston. There's only three stores in Tassie, and mine's in Launceston. We're the only ones in the north of the state. For anybody that doesn't know where Launceston is, it's basically in the middle up the north. So that means that we have people from the east coast, the west coast, and all along the north of Tasmania. We're the only JB store for this half of the state. So we have people coming from all over the state, which for me just... You know, it's not just necessarily our safety and just the general community safety, but that just due to our location and people coming and going from all parts of the state, it could actually be a real center for spread, particularly seeing that in the northwest of the state is where, I guess, like the epicenter is in Tassie, where it's still a problem up there. They're actually in lockdown now, but we were having people coming down to our store, people calling up just saying that they're coming down for a game, things like that. Like just having that kind of traffic from such varying places in the state, I just saw as a real potential issue.
Absolutely. So this campaign's grown really quickly. There's been an amazing response from other JB Hi-Fi workers. And almost 1,000 people have signed the petition, which listing your demands. What has the reception been like in your shops? And why do you think the campaign's picked up so much momentum?
So just to be clear, it's around 1,000 JB Hi-Fi workers, not just random people that have signed that petition. So my store has had a massive support. A massive percentage of my store has unionized since this has started. There's been a lot of enthusiasm, but it does sort of vary from store to store. I've worked across two stores since this started, just temporarily, and the attitude in another store might be taking things less seriously, just not really so bothered that that health and safety is at risk, but more just happy to be working their regular shifts and just feeling normal, which is a fair human response, but I don't think it's worth scoffing at something that in many parts of the world has been so deadly. So it isn't as easy in every shop, for sure.
Yeah, definitely. The response in my store has been quite positive, actually, which is really wonderful. I think more or less one of the wonderful things that has developed out of this campaign is seeing solidarity being built, and also seeing people collectively mobilize and organize and come together through union action. As Harry said, that it does vary from store to store. Unfortunately, you have people who maybe aren't too privy or aware of the severity of this virus, and you have others who are, and generally the ones who are very much aware and want to do something have signed up to the demands and signed up to the union, which is great.
And also it becomes difficult when so many of us who do take it seriously and do want to see change and, starting to unionise, they're generally the people that have taken a few weeks off, taken their annual leave, taken some time away to protect themselves. But it's also maybe growing the voices of those who aren't as interested or not adding that voice in because we're not at work. So this campaign has very much grown in an online space as well as in store, because obviously under normal circumstances we'd all be in there together. But I think one of the great things is that we've had such an interstore collective response that hasn't just been, trapped in one environment, which has been really cool to see, like, you know, interstate, like is really cool.
Yeah, it's really inspiring stuff. You all should be very proud of how it's all unfolding. So one of the recent developments has been the decision to focus the campaign on customers and asking them to not come to the stores, to shop online and forgo visiting stores physically. What's that been like?
Well, it's hard because we actually can't do it ourselves.
Yeah.
So I found it a pretty difficult kind of thing to focus on because, yeah, we as staff members can't do that, obviously. So that one's probably more for the union than us, I think.
Fair enough.
I think, it's probably safe to say that those who would be swayed by us or the union asking people to shop online or to stay home if you don't need to go out are probably the ones that were already swayed, and the ones who don't really care are the ones who are there at the moment. So yeah,
that's definitely true. Mm. Yeah. There's been in our store, there's been for a while, particularly when it was getting really bad in the Northwest, that it just seems like the people who are sensible and doing the right thing are already at home. And it's the people who don't care that are coming in, which kind of actually increases the risk because they're the ones that are not caring and not worrying so much about social distancing and stuff. So it's like the ones that are coming in are kind of create more risk.
Yeah. Because if you have those people in the middle, those people who are actually sort of already taking it seriously, they're the ones that call people out. Because, you know, we're workers, you know, we've got to put our game faces on. We can't be too harsh with people. But other customers would, you know, when this first started, would really sort of keep each other in check, enforce good distances. But it does become harder when those people aren't there, which is a catch-22.
Absolutely. There's a lot of devilish problems posed by the current conditions we're living under.
Mm.
So I was wondering if anyone would like to speak to what it's been like working with the union. You're all fairly new to RAFWU, and what's that experience been like?
The experience itself has been overwhelmingly positive. I think similarly to Cameron, it took me a while to really sort of investigate various retailer unions and finally coming to a decision and joining RAFWU. Predominantly because of how grassroots it is, and also the fact that it is undeniably a workers' union, which was incredibly important. And it was a workers' union that was and has and always will fight for the causes of workers. On a personal level, the experience has been really fantastic. They have been incredibly supportive during this period of time.
They've just been a fantastic sword and shield. They're taking what the workers say, they're refining it, they're sharpening it, and they're using their experience to give us a voice. They're not speaking over us, they're speaking for us, which has been really cool to see. They respond to what we want. They ask for our specific circumstances. It's not speaking as someone who thinks they know what we're going through. They're speaking as someone who is listening to us and then amplifying our voice, which has just been really fantastic.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that, and I guess add on to it in that, I found that, say, compared to other unions, where they might be, you know, kind of like oh, we're representing you, but they don't actually talk to the workers at all. Whereas this is a complete opposite of that. It's Rafu is said to us, how are you guys going with it? What do you want to do next? They're facilitating what we want, and they're using their expertise and guidance along with that. But it's definitely, this is definitely from the workers that are that are running this, not some union stooges. Like it's a real workers' union, and this experience compared to say when I was in the SDA when I worked at Coles, it's completely different.
That's a good segue. So over the last little, I guess, couple of weeks, we've noticed that the SDA has started to enter into some JB Hi-Fi stores for the first time ever. And yeah, it's an interesting situation because it doesn't seem that before the last couple of years that JB Hi-Fi has ever really had a union presence, and now suddenly the SDA has taken a lot of interest. Have any of you had any interactions with the SDA so far in your shops, and what's it like having them kind of enter in at this point in the campaign?
Personally, I have not had any interactions with the SDA within my own workplace. No one has mentioned encountering them within my own workplace as of yet. I can't really comment too much on the experience in that regard. In terms of them taking an interest in the campaign, undeniably the timing is very interesting, whereas a few years ago when workers' penalty rates were in jeopardy, they weren't anywhere to be seen either.
Well, I think also an interesting thing, I guess, adding on to that, is that that there's been this lack of showing by the SDA for years, and as you said, like when the issues with penalty rates was going on, and now they show up saying, hey, join the SDA, but they're actually pushing for something opposite to what the workers are asking for as well. They don't really have demands. I wouldn't really say they have demands. Their stance is keeping everything open, just business as usual. And they're approaching workers, which I have heard that there are some stores where they have come in, hasn't happened at my store, but that it's a recruiting drive for them, and they're just doing this whole, just sign up, we'll look after you, kind of that, like I said, that opposite of it's that whole, we'll represent you, we know what we're talking about, as opposed to what do you guys want, how can we represent you?
Sorry, from speaking to people in my store, and I do have, and do know at least one member of the SDA from my own store, the only thing that I've heard that they're actually pushing for is a slight essential worker money raise in pay, I guess, which, you know, is whatever, but... My only experiences from what I've been told by my co-workers who've been there while they've been there is that they've just been coming in, dropping off pamphlets, speaking to managers. I haven't had any personal experience with them, just as a response to their push for essential or danger pay or what, however you want to say it. I don't think that my co-workers' lives are worth $5 an hour more. I don't think that my co-workers' lives are worth $100 an hour more. I think that, you know, safety comes first. And when you're, I don't want to take danger money, and I don't want my co-workers to take danger money when there's the opportunity to put their health first. And there's still room to grow on that front.
Yeah, sort of elaborating a little bit on both points that Harry and Cameron have made, I think it is, quite telling that the SDA have arrived during this period in time, during the campaign, and as Cameron more or less said, really arriving in stores to try and recruit workers. Now, whether or not that's done as a means of trying to undermine the retail and fast food workers union, I certainly hold beliefs in that regard. But also, as Harry said, I don't believe that my colleagues' lives are worth $5 more. I think they need to be protected.
It's very well put. So what do you want to see next happening with this campaign? And how do you see things unfolding?
I think the way forward is just about amplifying our voice more, about speaking to people about why we're doing what we're doing. And until we're at the point where the experts are saying, we're safe, we can go out, there's no need to self-isolate anymore, I'm more than happy to drop this and let it go and go back to work as normal. But until that time, I'm going to keep talking to politicians. I'm kind of keep talking to any media, and I'm going to keep up the demand that as much safety measures as possible are fantastic. But at the end of the day, the safest thing would be to shut down, pay workers a fair wage so that they can live and reopen sooner, healthier, and better mentally prepared.
I think at this point in time, it's still very much about maintaining that conversation with various workers across JB Hi-Fi, because as it was initially raised, the amount of solidarity that's been built across stores nationwide has been incredible. Seeing the amount of solidarity and compassion amongst JB Hi-Fi workers as well has been particularly inspiring. But I think very much continuing to have those conversations with colleagues about the importance of union organizing as well, especially during this time, given that we don't know if and when a lockdown is going to be raised or when restrictions will be raised. Keeping that discourse going will be an imperative.
Absolutely. So how can people who don't work at JB Hi-Fi and maybe aren't part of the union, how can people support your campaign? Listeners at home.
Well, I think the first thing that everybody should do is, if it's not essential, don't leave the house. Keep on supporting the workers just through kind comments and just through sharing our story, through keeping up that conversation, sharing it with their friends, because they might know people who work under the same conditions or at the same for the same people. I think it's just, you know, keeping up that conversation, because it does get hard when you're preaching to the choir, but then finding those new people to hear what you're trying to say is it gets harder and harder. And so I think just keeping that conversation going is great.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I think also social media throughout this campaign has proven to be really fantastic in terms of giving the campaign not only a platform but a voice. Sharing stories via the RAFU Facebook page or any other forms of social media is really important, because it actually does help spread the word about the campaign. It does keep people informed and up to date as to how we're going. So I would also say that as well.
Amazing. I've got a question that's a little bit out of left field here, but so on Tuesday it was International Workers' Memorial Day, where we commemorate all the workers who have died performing their jobs. Tomorrow it's May Day, which of course commemorates the
the Haymarket Massacre, where a lot of people died at the hands of the state while they're striking for the 8-hour day. I was just wondering if any of you had any thoughts just generally about the realities of working through this pandemic at the moment, like so many people have to.
I think it's undeniably quite frightening for workers across the board who are working in the midst of this campaign. I think obviously commemorating any day of the year around workers' plight under incredibly unfortunate circumstances should be commemorated every day, because the reality is that at the moment we have seen people across the world who have died whilst being forced to work as a result of this pandemic. Undeniably, it's very frightening, and I think what will end up happening is that it will end up being a moment of reflection, not just for tomorrow, but for months, potentially years to come, in relation to this pandemic.
I think that in some small way, this campaign, this movement, has been a silver lining in that we have become very Australian workers have become more and more lax about unionisation and defending their rights. They've stopped pushing for things as much as they may have used to, because when things are good, they're fine. But I think that events like this really do show a chink in the armor of all large businesses, and in some way that maybe this is something good that's happened out of it. We're going to take this, we're going to continue on, and we're going to have a lot more people who are open to the idea of fighting for people's rights, fighting for unionization. JB Hi-Fi was not a unionized business before this. We had very few union members in there, and I think up until this year, I don't think any of the three of us were in a union. And so I think that that's been a real positive that's come out of this. And also, looking back, when we were losing penalty rates on Sundays, that didn't push this kind of union movement. But maybe next time, because of this, it'll be a lot harder to do something like that.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. I think also traditionally and historically, looking back at the union movement that has existed throughout Australia, was very much a movement that was looked up towards across the world at a period of time because of how strong and mobile it was. And I think steadily the incredible thing about not only this campaign but this pandemic, in spite of how absolutely horrific it is, we are seeing a lot of young people who are becoming radicalized in some way, shape, and form. They are becoming unionized as a result of, things potentially not being met within their own workplace. And I think fundamentally, on top of that, we have people who are beginning to ask important questions that maybe they perhaps weren't asking prior to this pandemic.
Definitely. I think there's some silver linings for sure. Like at my store, I've always been known as the store commie, but now because of this, I'm actually having some more meaningful conversations with people about the importance of unionising and that kind of stuff. And at risk of getting on a bit of a tangent here, I guess taking off my, putting on my historian's hat, I guess. I think what this really highlights is the flaws within the system as a whole as well, as Harry and Morty just kind of touched on a bit, where it's almost as if a bit like vaccines, unionism has, because of its successes, has become weakened because people have got these things that have protected them and have taken it for granted. And over the years, these have been slowly eroded away through successive, mostly liberal governments, to the point where it's taken something like this for people to realise how bad it's got. And I guess on a like broader scale, this could hopefully cause a bit of a rethink on the system itself, and the way that we operate, where profit is the only motive, the only indicator of success. Hopefully this will kind of help us look at things a little bit differently and hopefully towards change.
I don't know about you guys, but when I first started talking about this to my co-workers, a lot of them didn't actually know what a union was and what a union did.
Mm.
So this has been a great teaching moment for younger people who might not realise that. And, you know, a lot of young people don't even know their rights. I didn't, you know, when I was 18.
Mm.
So it's been a great, it's been a horrible, dreadful, but fantastic teaching moment.
I like your analogy to vaccines there, Cameron. I think I agree.
Yes, the anti-vax movement kind of rose as the success of vaccines kicked in. So, yeah.
Bit on the nose, don't you think?
Yeah.
Well, much like the vaccines, the union also made me gay, so.
Yeah. It'll do.
So I think we're about to run out of recording space, but has anyone got some shout-outs they want to do before we bounce? I think we've got about a minute.
I just want to say a really big thank you, not only to Rafu as a whole, but you know, I want to give a really big shout-out to Josh, who is the union secretary. He's been working so incredibly tirelessly, and it's been amazing to see someone working so hard for us.
Yeah, likewise, I would like to give Josh a shout out for his patience, an incredible amount of time that he has to all of us, and just working so tirelessly throughout this pandemic. He has been absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, definitely agree with that. And just, yeah, Rafa as a whole and fellow union members at JB, it's been amazing to be able to talk to other members from other stores and realise you're not alone. It's really good.
Just a very quick also shout out to all of the casual workers who are not getting shifts, who are now living not knowing exactly when your next paycheck is coming. It's been hard to see, but I think that you guys are really important, and you're one of us just as much as any permanent worker. So,
yeah, definitely. I also would like to extend my love and solidarity to all JB workers who were affected by this, and all workers across the board who are affected by this pandemic as well. As Cameron touched on, the fact that we have collaboratively and collectively come together during this time has been really fantastic, and knowing that we're now no longer alone in the struggle.
Amazing. Thanks so much, everyone, for joining us.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Hi there, 3CR listeners. This is Shane Howard, the Gowanna fella. These are strange and tough times, and a lot of people are doing it really hard. But they will pass. Be kind to yourself and others. Buy local, and like 3CR, support local businesses and local artists. Don't be afraid to reach out for help if you need it, and don't hold back giving it if you can. Thanks to 3CR for being their collective voice.
Welcome back. You're listening to 3CR Community Radio. That's 855 AM on your dial, 3cr.org.au, where you can stream our shows online. This is the Squatters and Unwage Workers Airwaves. It's the Wobbly Week. It's a show about the industrial workers of the world, one big union for all the workers. We just heard a track earlier there. It's called Momentary by a group called Beacon, and that was another request from one of our JB Hi-Fi colleagues who we interviewed there. I hope everyone is having a safe May Day. Thoughts go out to all the essential workers out there in health and retail and other places that are being kept open at this point in time, and to all the workers out there who have lost their work as well and are waiting for whatever assistance that they can get. Just a reminder that if you're interested in joining the One Big Union, you can head over to iww.org.au. And join up there. You can also find us on all the social media. Thanks for listening in today. I hope you have a great May Day. I'm just going to throw out with a song. This one's by a band called Cotton Pony, and it's actually the band of Cameron, who is our JB Hi-Fi worker comrade from Launceston. This one's called Speaking in Tongues, and he said it had something to do with environmental collapse. So hope you all enjoy it, and I hope your May Day is okay. Take care.
Reaching my hand to it. You've got a job now, do it. I got an itch to scratch it. So let's get down to it. You know I'm better pleased when you're down on your knees. Well, I got a mind to hear you speaking in tongues.
Yeah. 3CR remains closed to all broadcasters and guests until further notice.
The good news is that so many of our programs are producing new shows each week from home.
From Lost in Science to Living Free.
Done by Law to Defence of Government Schools.
Concrete Gang to Chronically Chilled.
Mafalda to Music Matters.
We're here with compelling content and rousing radio.
Listen live or listen later.
Tune in, stay safe and keep listening.
3CR Community Radio, here to stay.